On June 28, 1979, operators at Three Mile Island stared at a control room in chaos. Alarms screamed. Readings contradicted each other. The computer monitoring system printed only question marks. Within 13 seconds, critical failures had cascaded through the reactor. In under 10 minutes, the core was damaged. The operators believed they had too much water in the reactor when, in fact, they had too little, a misinterpretation that nearly caused a catastrophic meltdown. This wasn't a story of incompetence or negligence, it was something far more unsettling, a preview of how modern disasters unfold in systems so complex that failure becomes not just possible, but inevitable. Sociologist Charles Perrow revolutionized our understanding of disasters when he identified two characteristics that make systems vulnerable. First, complexity, when components interact in ways operators can't anticipate. Second, tight coupling, when little slack exists between parts, allowing failures to spread with terrifying speed. When both factors align, you enter what Perrow called the danger zone, where accidents aren't aberrations, but natural outcomes of system design itself. Nuclear plants live permanently in this zone. Chain reactions require precise conditions, where small deviations trigger major problems. Timing is everything. You can't pause a reactor mid-crisis to think things through. From nuclear plants to social media campaigns, from financial markets to hospital wards, we're living in what experts call the golden age of meltdowns, and most of us don't even realize it. The danger zone extends beyond engineering. When Starbucks displayed customer messages on a London ice rink screen, a broken filter allowed angry tax avoidance tweets to flood the display. When Yale lecturer Erica Christakis questioned Halloween costume guidance in a private email, controversy exploded globally within hours. A visitor's smartphone video went viral, transforming a campus disagreement into international news. Universities evolved from loosely coupled communities into tightly wired systems where any interaction can instantly become a global incident. The financial system offers a sobering example. In 1987, portfolio insurance algorithms triggered a market crash. By 2008, interconnected instruments created hidden risk webs that nearly destroyed the global economy. Knight Capital discovered this danger on August 1, 2012, when faulty trading software sent hundreds of untended orders per second, losing over $15 million per minute. The culprit? An employee forgot to copy new software to one of 8 servers, a trivial IT oversight that nearly bankrupted the company. BP's Deepwater Horizon followed a similar pattern. Drilling a mile underwater forced engineers to rely on simulations and indirect measurements that missed critical warnings. When the blowout occurred, elaborate emergency systems paralyzed the crew rather than enabling response. As systems grow interconnected, they become vulnerable to exploitation. In 2010, researcher Barnaby Jack hacked an ATM to spew cash while flashing jackpot. Hackers breached Target in 2013, stealing 40 million credit card numbers through a heating contractor's credentials. When hackers Charlie Miller and Chris Velasquez remotely attacked a Jeep Cherokee while journalist Andy Greenberg drove at 70 miles per hour, they disabled his transmission through the vehicle's entertainment system, later developing capabilities to control steering and brakes. Financial fraud thrives in complexity. Enron's CFO Andrew Fasto created over 1,300 specialized companies to hide debt through convoluted transactions, viewing accounting complexity not as a problem but as an opportunity. The UK Post Office's Horizon IT system created accounting nightmares that led to hundreds of innocent sub-postmasters being accused of theft, some even jailed, before investigators revealed the system's flaws. Complexity doesn't just enable accidents, it invites exploitation. The 2017 Oscars fiasco, where La La Land was mistakenly announced as Best Picture instead of Moonlight, shows how safety features backfire through complexity. An accountant handed Warren Beatty a duplicate Best Actress envelope from a redundant 2-briefcase system. Hospitals face similar issues. At UCSF, multiple safety systems all failed to prevent a teenage patient's massive medication overdose. One hospital's ICUs generated 2.5 million alarms monthly, creating alarm fatigue that numbed staff to real emergencies. Aircraft designs illustrate transparency's value. The Airbus A33's side sticks proved dangerous in Air France 447, where pilots couldn't see colleagues pulling back during stalls. Boeing 737's yokes provide transparency. When one pilot moves controls, the other sees it immediately. We're terrible at probability. When we're 90% confident, we're right less than half the time. The SPIS method improved temperature forecasts from 30% to 74% accuracy by considering multiple outcome intervals. Simple criteria outperform intuition. The Ottawa ankle rules reduce unnecessary x-rays by a third while catching every severe fracture. The premortem, imagining a project has failed and explaining why, generates concrete, unexpected risks. In 2014, Flint switched water sources to save money. Despite resident complaints, officials denied problems while secretly providing bottled water to state employees. Leanne Walters discovered her twin had lead poisoning from corrosive water eating through pipes. Officials manipulated testing by instructing residents to flush pipes beforehand and testing mostly homes without lead pipes. Skipping corrosion control chemicals saved $60 daily, while 9,000 children drank contaminated water. Washington, D.C.'s metro showed similar patterns. Engineers identified trains disappearing from detection in 2005 and developed monitoring software, but the organization forgot. In 2009, workers left track segment B2304 unresolved. For 5 days, trains vanished from sensors unnoticed. On June 22nd, an invisible stalled train was struck, killing 9 people. Commercial aviation demonstrates the better path, reducing fatal crashes from 40 per million departures in the late 1950s to 2 per 10 million today by learning from small errors and near misses. After a 1993 FDA crisis, Novo Nordisk created a department to scan for external challenges, conducted internal audits using facilitators who interviewed employees about unspoken concerns, and tracked corrective actions to completion. The lesson? Thank those who raise concerns, even when wrong. Ignoring warning signs kills people. In 1846 Vienna, women dreaded the first obstetrical clinic, where hundreds died annually from childbed fever, compared to just 60 in the nearly identical second clinic staffed by midwives. Ignaz Semmelweis discovered doctors carried infectious particles from autopsies to patients. Mandatory hand washing plummeted mortality from over 10% to 1%. Yet the medical establishment resisted. His findings implied doctors throughout Europe had been killing patients. Our brains are wired against dissent. Neuroscience shows holding opinions different from our group activates our brain's error detection region while decreasing reward anticipation, essentially punishing nonconformity. Since the 1970s, airlines transformed from captains as infallible kings to emphasizing team safety through crew resource management. A 1994 study found nearly 3/4 of major accidents occurred during the captain's turn to fly, not because captains were poor pilots, but because first officers failed to challenge their mistakes. Small behavioral changes dramatically improve communication. An ER doctor with low patient satisfaction transformed relationships by simply sitting during interactions. Captain Ben Berman tells new first officers, "I've never done a perfect flight," making challenges easier. Leaders speaking last helps. Teams with open leaders who emphasized hearing all viewpoints generated more solutions and shared almost twice as many facts. Diversity prevents failures by creating healthy skepticism. Ethnically diverse trading groups priced stocks more accurately and experienced fewer price bubbles than homogeneous groups. The key wasn't that minority traders contributed unique perspectives, but that their presence changed everyone's behavior. All participants became more skeptical and objective. While homogeneity creates comfort, diversity introduces productive friction that makes people more vigilant. Theranos, once valued at $9 billion, exemplifies catastrophic failure without diversity. Its board, 10 white men, averaging 76 years old, plus Holmes and Balwani, lacked medical and biotechnology expertise. Meanwhile, community banks with diverse boards survived the financial crisis. Diversity works because it makes groups more skeptical and prevents easy agreement, uncomfortable friction that snaps us from our comfort zone. We're living in the golden age of meltdowns, where systems operate in the danger zone while management capabilities lag behind. Solutions exist: structured decision tools, learning from small failures, building diverse teams, creating transparent systems with Slack. Yet organizations still celebrate intuition in complex environments and ignore warnings. These solutions don't require massive budgets. Anyone can run a pre-mortem, use predetermined criteria, or make predictions using the SPIES method. The question isn't whether we can prevent the next disaster, it's whether we have the conviction to try. We can either barrel toward preventable catastrophes or embrace uncomfortable friction and build systems that thrive within complexity.